when it's done in a British accent. It's good stuff, Izzy. Sorry. Hey, my phone is on a Scottish accent. So I don't know why. It just happened. Pete, again, thank you for the message and song this morning and the challenge that was given us in the many words of the songs we sang. I appreciate you and how the Holy Spirit leads you every week to put that together. And may I just say, Ida, thank you for all that you do for us. The bulletin is always so priceless, and we so appreciate that. So thank you very, very much. I'm going to preach to the choir, as they say today. Nothing new, but I want you to just be reminded today, especially as we're looking at this brand new year. Now, for my generation, though I think we were young at the time, some of us, you may remember the inaugural address on January 20th, 1961, of newly elected President of the United States, John Kennedy. And if you do, you remember that part of that inaugural address was not only inspiring, but it was very encouraging and very challenging, at least one aspect of it. Here's what President Kennedy said. He said, in the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And here it is. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And then on November 21st, 1963, the day prior to his assassination in Dallas, Texas, President Kennedy made these remarks to an audience in Fort Worth. We stand on the edge of a great new era filled with both crisis and opportunity. It is an era which calls for action and for the best efforts of all those who would test the unknown and the uncertain in every phase of human endeavor. It is a time for pathfinders and pioneers. If you just listen to that segment of what President Kennedy said back in the 1960s, I think it's obvious that he believed that the United States of America in that time period was standing on the edge of a great new era filled with both crisis and opportunity. And let me focus for a moment on those two words, crisis and opportunity. What would President Kennedy think today about the United States of America? I wonder if we, the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, if we, the true followers of Jesus Christ, might say the same of the United States today as we embark on this brand new year. President Kennedy believed that the United States in the 1960s possessed the potential to ignite a fire that could truly light the world. That was the 1960s. What would he think today? And so I wonder if we, the church, Christ's body on earth, if we might say the same of the United States here and now, today. And President Kennedy believed that the United States in the 1960s was blessed with pathfinders and pioneers who were being called into action. That was in one of the songs we sang this morning, our call to action. I wonder what President Kennedy would say today. More importantly, I wonder if you and I, as true followers of Jesus Christ today, if we might say the same for our country. In other words, are we looking ahead in this brand new year to the fact that in this country which we say we love dearly, in this country which we think can make a difference in the world, I wonder if we, like President Kennedy, are being called to some form of action. I wonder if you and I, where we are today, whatever we are doing in life, I wonder if we see ourselves being called Again, we sang about it this morning. We are the chosen. We know that. We've studied that now for weeks upon weeks. Not something that we can brag about in self. As I've mentioned time and time again, we brag in the greatness of our God that He would choose wretched sinners like every single one of us. And I wonder today, as we think about newness, the newness of a brand new year, do we see ourselves as being called to action? Now, not a call of action for that which we can do, as President Kennedy said in his remarks, rather a call of action for what the Lord our God can do through us. A call of action that if we're willing, I'm convinced, the Lord God Almighty will do through us. There's a difference in the call of action that President Kennedy gave and what we are going to look at today in Scripture. The difference is dependency. Who were they depending on in the 1960s? A political system or a nation or individually, who were they depending on? More importantly, who are you and I depending on today in this call of action? Well, let me just remind you again of something from Scripture. Turn over in Psalm 33. Psalm 33, you'll also find the passage in our bulletin. I'm always amazed every week at how Ida can get all that Scripture in that bulletin. One day we're going to come, we're going to have about 15 pages of a bulletin, I'm convinced. Psalm 33. Again, it's there in your bulletin as well. We're going to start reading at verse 1, but I want you to concentrate your attention now for just the first 9 verses for a moment, because we're going to look at who it is that we are to acknowledge, who it is that we are to recognize, because this is key. I'll say it again. This is not something brand new for you. You know this, but how often do we just need to be reminded, folks? Where do we give our acknowledgement? Where do we give our attention? Psalm 33, verse 1. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to Him with a harp of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Who is it that the psalmist says in these verses we are to recognize and acknowledge? To whom is it that we, the inhabitants of the world, must stand in awe, must respect, must sing our praises, give our thanks? Well, it's so obvious, isn't it? It is the Lord our God. The Lord our God. Why? Verses 4 and 5, because the word of the Lord is upright, because all His work is done in faithfulness. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His steadfast love. Here's the bottom line. We are to acknowledge and recognize and praise the greatness of our God because the Lord is true to His word. Because He is true to His character, and He will never, ever change. Never. Never. Therefore, He must be the recipient of our worship, our praise, and our adoration. How many times do we get up on any given day and change is in the air? If you follow the news, it's almost like every given moment something is changing. There's a new policy. There is this being focused on or that being focused on. It's priceless, though, isn't it? That we as the church can recognize again and again and again that our God never changes. His character is always the same, and He is faithful to that character no matter what. No matter what this world brings, Our God is always faithful. So why is it that we are to focus all of our attention on the Lord our God? Well, verses 6, 7, and 9, because by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in the storehouses. The Lord spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. I think Rich Mullins in his song said it perfectly for this passage of Scripture, didn't he? Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. When you think about the first four words of Scripture, Genesis 1:1, what does it say? In the beginning, God. God. That's three words, not four. The first three words of Scripture. In the beginning, God. And that's why we give him the praise and the glory and the honor. Because he and only he deserves it. Now let's pick up reading in verse 10. Verses 10 through 19. And let's get away now from individually having the responsibility. Let's look for a moment at the nation. And when we look at the nation, we could pick any nation of the world, but let's pick our nation. Let's pick our nation and let's see here in Scripture who the nation is to acknowledge and recognize. Verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel, meaning the direction, the guidance. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. Now look at this in particular, verse 16. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope for salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his steadfast love, that he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. You see it here, right? The dependency that we must have. The dependency that we must have is on the Lord our God. We've addressed it individually, but hopefully you see this as a nation as well. We're not just responsible for ourselves. We're a people that engage with other people. We're a people who come together as community, as a town, as a state, as a nation. And what we see in Scripture is that we, too, as a nation, we are responsible for acknowledging and recognizing the Lord our God. Why? Because he is our only hope. He is our only hope for life on earth. He is our only hope for life in eternity to come. If you've lived long enough, you know this. You know that we can have the best of plans, the best of intentions. We can have the most secure finances. We can have the abundance of natural resources. We can have the backing of a well-organized government, the strongest military, the knowledge of a dynamic leader, the highest education, the greatest of health, or the utmost wisdom. We can have all, some of these or even more, yet if we do not respect the Lord our God and honor him in our individual lives and as a nation, none of what we have matters. It does not matter. How many times are we told by leaders in our community, in our state, in our nation, that we have, and because of that, we can. And not one single word will ever be given to the aspect that we cannot without the Lord our God. We cannot. Scripture makes that very clear. No human endeavor outside of the Lord God's blessings upon that endeavor will ultimately succeed. Only what our God blesses. Only what our true hope blesses. When it's His plans, His counsel, then it will make all the difference in the world. So, we are not being called to action for what we individually have or we as a nation have. We're being called to action for who the Lord God is and what the Lord God in His wisdom, in His knowledge, in His plan, what His will is going to carry out through us. That's the call to action. The call to action for us today and every day that we live on this earth is, Lord God, what do you want to carry out here through me? What do you want to carry out through us, Glacier Church? What do you want to carry out through us as a nation? Lord God, what are your perfect plans? That's the call of action we want to respond to. But how often are we ignoring the Lord God? How often do we do so individually? How often do we do so, certainly, as a nation? It seems like more and more we're just getting further and further and further away from the Lord God. And you know this, you see this every day. And the question I have to ask myself is, why is that the case? Why is it true for me as an individual follower of Jesus? Why is it true for the church? Why is it true for our nation? Well, I think it's true because of what we forget. We forget who He is, that He and He alone deserves the praise, the glory, and the honor. And we also forget our responsibility to who He is. What is that responsibility? What is that call to action? Well, look at verses 20 through 22. Here it is. And here's the nuts and bolts of it all. Verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. If I were to ask you today, do we, the Church of Jesus Christ, do we individually who make up the Church of Jesus Christ, His body on earth, do we have a responsibility to be full of energy, faith, and devotion, even as a president once asked of us? Well, sure we do. There's no doubt that we do. Do we, as the church, the body of Christ, individually and as the corporate body, should we put forth our best efforts to test the unknown and the uncertain in every phase of human endeavor, as President Kennedy once said? Again, no doubt. Yes, we should. But if we think we can accomplish anything individually or as a nation without the guidance and help of the Lord our God, we are sadly mistaken. And I say sadly mistaken, it's much deeper than that. And see, this is what has happened in our nation. And you may say, Joe, this has been going on for years upon years. Yes, it has. Ever since Adam and Eve fell in the garden, this downfall of mankind has been moving. And it's going to continue to move until that, which we sang about this morning, until that redeeming love comes for us. It's going to continue until He puts everything together perfectly and the new heaven and the new earth are given to us. It's headed toward destruction. But why is it headed towards destruction? Is it because we're just sadly mistaken thinking that we can do things on our own? No, it's much deeper than that. It's not just a sad mistake. I mean, it should grieve our hearts that we individually, we as a nation, certainly we as a nation, that we are moving further and further away from the Lord. It should grieve our hearts, but it also ought to cause us to realize exactly what's going on. And what is going on? Well, listen to what James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Listen to what he said. He said, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit." Think about it from the aspect of us individually, as a church and a nation. You who say, this is what we're going to do on January 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and on and on and on throughout the year. This is what we are going to do. This is our call to action. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, verse 16 says, now look at this. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. And all such boasting is what? A sad mistake? No. All such boasting is evil. Evil. When we ignore the Lord our God as individuals and as a nation, we boast in our arrogance. And boasting in such arrogance is evil. And where there is the practice of evil, I guarantee you, the blessings of the Lord God are nowhere to be found. Where there is the practice of evil, it is only a matter of time before the Lord God will frustrate, as we read in Psalm 33, He will frustrate the counsel and the plans of people. Listen, I'm grateful to live in the United States of America. I'm so thankful. I like President Kennedy. I wouldn't trade it for any other country or any other generation. But I am concerned. I am concerned because, once again, we have leaders all over our nation in place who are guiding us from the aspect of we can, we can, we can. And they are totally ignoring the counsel and the plan and the will and the character of the Lord our God. And if we're not careful, we, the church, are doing the exact same thing. So I can't point a finger toward someone in politics and say, you're the cause, when I have to look at myself and say, but wait a minute, how much am I doing to acknowledge and to praise and to adore and to worship the Lord my God? It comes back to me individually. It comes back to you individually. And then we can bring it up to the level of the church and the nation. It is evil to believe that we can prosper individually without the Lord our God. Make sure you know that. It is evil to believe that we can prosper in a marriage, in a business, in a church, or in education without the Lord our God. And it is certainly evil to believe that we can prosper as a nation without the Lord our God. Why? Because our only hope, our only true hope for life here on earth and life in eternity to come, rests solely on the Lord God and His counsel and His plans. Period. Period. You know that. I know that. The church knows that. The United States of America, at one point, I'm convinced, knew that. But we are drifting so far and far and far away from the truth that we know. So what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Well, go back to verses 20 through 22. In verse 20, we must wait for the Lord God. Now, that doesn't mean that we get into our room at the house that we live in and go, God, when you set everything in motion just as you want it set in motion, I'll open my door, get out, and I'll get involved. But until then, God, I'm going to wait. No, what that really means is we must not be anxious about what is happening around us. We must realize that God's character never changes. Therefore, the Lord our God is at work. His plan is being carried out. His direction, His counsel is headed in the right way. And we wait. Now, we do the work He calls us to do. If He calls us in our marriage to do this, we get up and do it. If He calls us in our workplace to do this, we get up and do it. We do whatever it is the Lord God calls us to do. But we must wait for the Lord in the sense that we must not be anxious, we must not worry, and we must not fear. And I say that boldly, and I get back in my home and go, huh, what is tomorrow holding for me? And I panic, and you know that. How many times did I tell you before I flew to Kansas, I don't want to fly to Kansas, and it was just a silly flight. It wasn't the world coming to an end. But I worried about it. I feared about it. I fretted over it. I didn't wait on the Lord. And that's just a little bitty instance. Look at what is happening in your life. Look at what is happening in my life. We are to wait for the Lord. Lord, I'm not going to be anxious in this. I'm going to trust you and your character. You're faithful. You're true. I'm going to see you come to the rescue. Verse 21, we must trust in the Lord God's holy name. What that tells me is, though the world around us may be falling apart, and it is, if you haven't recognized that yet, it is. Though the world around us may be falling apart, we must trust in the faithful character of the Lord our God. For only in trusting the Lord our God will our hearts be glad. My goodness, how many times have you looked at a news article or heard something on the TV or the radio and you immediately went into the panic mode? Immediately. Goodness, can I trust that my government's going to step in and deliver? Are they going to provide? Are they going to protect? Can we depend upon the government? Well, yes, we can, to the extent that the Lord God is using the government to provide and protect and deliver. Of course we can. But we must put our trust in the one who is behind it all. And that is the Lord God Almighty. It's only His character that we can hold on to. It's only His word that we can depend upon. So what we must do is, if we want our hearts to be glad no matter what, as we're waiting, we're trusting. We constantly trust. And then finally in verse 22, we must hope in the Lord God, and we must continually ask for the revealing of His steadfast love upon us. I know I've harped on this so much now, you're probably like, gag, Joe, get off of it. But what does the word steadfast mean? To the heavens. To the heavens. To the heavens. And so what we, as we're waiting for the Lord, trusting in the Lord, as we are now hoping in the Lord, we're saying, Lord, I am hoping today that Your love, which extends to the heavens, which means it just keeps going and going and going and going and going. God, You love me today no matter what. I am hoping that You, Lord God, are going to carry out through me and around me Your perfect will. And God says, if you will wait, if you will trust, if you will hope, I will put you on that edge of a great new era filled with both crisis and opportunity, and you'll see me move in mighty ways like you've never seen me move before. And let me tell you this, it might be that that movement, now I say that, and what I'm hoping is that tomorrow morning I wake up and the Lord God has done something so miraculous, the whole community, the whole state, the whole nation, the whole world is going, whoa, that has to be the Lord God doing that. No. What I'm hoping is that when I wake up tomorrow morning, the Lord God in His mercy and grace has so changed my heart that I am more like Him today, that I'll go out into the world in which I live, in the mundane aspects of the world in which I live, and I will watch God carry out the mightiest of miracles as He keeps changing this heart for all those out there who also need their hearts changed. And I will love on them as Jesus loves on me in that steadfast love. That's the mighty miracle. That's what we ought to be hoping for. That should be that call to action for every single one of us. So let me just ask you, what's it going to be for you in 2023? What is it going to be for you in the sense of what does tomorrow hold for you? Country music star Brad Paisley once said, tomorrow is the first blank page of a 365-page book. Write a good one. I thought, isn't that great? We have the opportunity to write an entire book on our life in the days to come. Man, let's write a good one. But if we're going to write a good one now, what we have to do is wait on the Lord, trust the Lord, and hope in the Lord. And if we will do that, let me assure you of this. If we will do that, because Psalm 33 talks about the blessings of the Lord. If we will do that, we will see. Now, this is how God defines it, not you and I define it. We will see God bring prosperity into our lives like never before. Not the prosperity as we as people see it, but how the Lord God sees it. If we will just wait, trust, and hope, we will see not only individually, but also in our family, also in our church, also in our community, in our state, in our nation, even in our world, we will see God bring prosperity as God defines prosperity. It might not look like anything we ever thought it would be like, It'll be like what God believes it is, plans it to be. And we can rest in that and trust in that and say, God, that's it. That's it. Now, let me assure you again that this may bring change to your life and my life. Gag, more change. But it may. It may be bring change like you didn't imagine you would experience in life. Maybe it has to do with a relationship. Maybe it has to do with health. Maybe it has to do with finances. Maybe it has to do with all sorts of things, the mundane aspects of life. But let me assure you that if you are, if I am waiting, trusting and hoping in the Lord our God, listen, we'll see prosperity as God defines it like we've never seen it before. So we really are being called to action, to action. And let's make sure that we carry out this action as God's pathfinders and pioneers. Let's make certain that we're going to be faithful to this no matter what tomorrow holds, no matter what tomorrow holds. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you for how you give us the word and it is true. I want to thank you for how you give us yourself and you are true. And I pray, Lord God, in these days ahead, that you would take every single one of us, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits, our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, our deeds, everything that we are. And I'm going to ask, Father, today that we would be a people that would surrender ourselves completely unto you and just expect you to carry out that which you want to carry out, your perfect will in us. And not just in us, but as we prayed earlier, also in our church. So that we really will be that light that goes out into community, into our state, our nation, our world, and we will see Jesus Christ lifted up on high. Father, there's no doubt that evil is still progressing, but there's also no doubt that, Lord God, you absolutely control all things. Everything is in your hand. And so today, let us rest in that. Tomorrow, let us rest in that. And let us, Father, be a people that will give you the praise, glory, and honor because of who you are. Father, don't let us lose sight of who you are. Don't let us get so caught up in this world, whether it's being caught up in fear or whether it's being caught up in pride, whether it's caught up in the self of it all. Don't let us do that, Father, in the days ahead. But let us yield ourselves completely to you because we know that we can trust you. Father, bring blessings upon us. Bring prosperity upon us. As you call blessings, as you call prosperity, and let us see it as such, and let us praise you for it. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.